It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Hello and welcome to episode number 177 of the Rob Carson Show podcast. For those who are listening to me on iTunes, downloading it for free on iTunes, the Rob Carson Show podcast, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, TuneIn, YouTube, your toaster. I think I actually come in on your toaster. If you just go yell at your toaster, hey, toaster, play the Rob Carson Show, it'll do it. It's everywhere. And, of course, it's on Liberty One TV. Come on, right, cheer. Kind of got my good old boy look going on today. Reason being is I had a radio show this morning in Vegas. I was on in Vegas from my home studio here in lovely Overland Park, Kansas. And did a show there, got up incredibly early. Just way too early. But I had a lot of fun. It was really cool. And KXNT is a great radio station. It was a terrific opportunity to do a radio show there. It's one of the things I do other than this show on this wonderful platform. So welcome to the show. Got a lot of things we're going to get to. Anthem protests. Have they jumped the shark? Some people in America being whipped into a violent lather by inflammatory language with regard to race, with regard to everything racial, including Spike Lee, Don Lemon, lots of other people on CNN, MSNBC. They know that it gets ratings to call somebody racist or to use inflammatory language, and it's becoming dangerous. And I've got a story that just broke about a woman named Edith Macias. She grabbed a hat off this guy's head. It was a Make America Great Again hat. And went on a tirade spewing all of the leftist talking points with regard to the Trump presidency being racist, etc. And Hillary Clinton started this. Barack Obama started this. And this is going to get very, very dangerous. And when it's continued by people like Don Lemon and Spike Lee and others, and it resonates like it does with this woman, I'm going to share this very shortly with you. It's disturbing, it's troubling, and it's sickening. And it's an affront to free speech in this country. Let's talk a little bit about what happened last night. Today I'm recording it on the 29th, last day of September 2017. The Green Bay Packers took on the Chicago Bears, kicked their butts, and they locked arms for the national anthem. Rather than sitting, rather than kneeling, they locked arm for the national anthem, and they asked the fans to do it. Well, fans maybe not so much into it. In fact, they were not particularly happy about it. Here's a little bit of their reaction.
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last
wave. There's the end of it. So most of the audience did not. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because I don't feel solidarity with the millionaires on the field and what the protest was originally based on. They don't agree with it. And so they didn't. And so this really shows the divide between the NFL and its fans on this. And it's going to cost the NFL dearly. I think they're searching for some sort of remedy to this. The remedy is standing for the national anthem and kneeling before, I guess. Here's Aaron Rodgers talking about why they were clasping their arms together.
This is about equality. This is about unity and love and growing together as a society and starting a conversation around something that might be...
We've been having a conversation on race for a very long time in this country, okay? We're not starting anything new.
Uncomfortable for people, but we got to come together...
Make things uncomfortable for people. Why the hell should people feel uncomfortable? Why should I feel uncomfortable? I've never done anything racist in my life.
talk about these things and grow as a community.
You can only grow if you think like him. That's it. You can only grow if you think like Aaron Rodgers and his ilk.
Like a group of individuals in our society. And we're going to continue to show love and unity. And this week, we're going to ask the fans to join in as well.
Okay. I don't want love and unity on the field, okay? I want gladiators, all right? I want what the NFL has always been, which is a marvelous and sometimes brutal event, a spectacle. I don't want this. Yeah, I don't want all you need is love. I don't want give peace a chance. I don't want any of that crap. I want like the rugby players when they do that routine, that dance where they yell at the other team. That's what I want before the game. And then I want you to stand there reverently and look at the flag because the NFL rule book says you should. The NBA says they don't have an issue with it. Because it is a rule, you have to stand at attention for the national anthem. That's it. If you do not, you will be suspended for a game like what happened in 1993 with a player who was a Muslim. Not going to be a problem for the NBA this year. But for some odd, inane, stupid reason, Roger Goodell has let this fester. You know what? One of the things that maybe have started this whole thing, this feminization of the sport, is when they got rid of this guy.
Nice.
When they got rid of Hank Williams Jr., it became less of a spectacle. Remember we used to watch Monday Night Football, him singing? You get goosebumps. Loved it. It's part of it. This whole love and hug and kiss and all this. Guy, what bullcrap. I reject it. Patriots are going to be standing for the national anthem this weekend. Broncos are going to be standing this weekend. Several other teams are saying that they're going to kneel before, and then they're going to stand for the national anthem. And the National Football League has a lot of culpability here because they started it. You know, they took a lot of money from the military to do a giant spectacle. It started after 9/11, a giant flag. The whole field is covered by a giant flag. It's a glorious thing. Then you hear the national anthem. Then you see a flyover. I've been to many of those games. Everything from a stealth bomber, F-15s, Hueys. Seen Golden Knights parachute in. And now the NFL is going to reject that. You know? Unbelievable. And now they're taking it to the racism end of the spectrum. They want to bring down Donald Trump. So the latest thing is that Donald Trump's a racist and he's calling black people sons of bitches. It's just black people. It's not just black people. It's any NFL player. He did not say anything about just black football players or sons of bitches. But this is being twisted by the left, by people like Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was talking to Chris Hayes on MSNBC about this. And this is the start of the inflammatory language that I'm talking about that is becoming, is so beyond divisive that it is dangerous. Here she is talking a little bit about calling athletes sons of bitches if they kneel during the national anthem.
He attacks black athletes as he did, starting with his...
You know he didn't. That's the sickening thing. He didn't just go after black athletes, but she's doing the talking points. Because they are effective and they divide us.
Rally in Alabama continued on Twitter.
in Alabama, of course, and I'm sure she has feelings about people in Alabama. They're a bunch of redneck hicks.
And he attacks them for protesting peacefully, for equality, for standing up for what they believe.
And if you ask every player what it's about, they'll have different answers.
Does it, once again, to dog whistle to his base and to try to detract attention from other things that are going on.
You don't think Barack Obama dog whistled to his base? You don't think that Barack Obama politicized stuff? He made a comment earlier this week that the NFL shouldn't be politicized, and I had to laugh because he politicized Thanksgiving and Christmas for people, saying you should get in people's faces, you could get in your relatives' faces about things, start the discussion at the table. Here's a little bit more from Hillary Clinton, again talking about this false narrative that Donald Trump was talking just about black athletes.
But it's quite telling that he is willing to attack black athletes. He never says anything of an insulting manner toward white supremacists or neo-Nazis or Ku Klux Klanners.
Here she goes. She's flashing back to Charlottesville. This is another Democrat talking point. Donald Trump did condemn the white supremacists and did condemn the KKK. He didn't do it in time for people on the left.
Or Vladimir Putin, right?
Unreal. Just a despicable human being. Just a gross, despicable human being. I'm sorry. Just go work at Walmart. Go leave. Take your money and go somewhere. Take your ill-gotten gains and go somewhere, anywhere. Sorry, I'm worked in a two-bit of a lather today. I do have some non-political things we'll get to very shortly on the show. Tucker Carlson echoed some of the same things that I've had to say about the irresponsible things that the media are saying, particularly on CNN and MSNBC. And how it is dangerous. It's protected by the First Amendment, but it's dangerous and it's irresponsible. Here he is talking about it.
Yes, the last thing this country needs is more demagoguery, especially racial demagoguery, which always leaves the deepest and longest lasting wounds. On the other hand, whipping people into a frenzy of fear and rage is a guaranteed ratings bonanza, and CNN can never resist that. Watch how that network takes the controversy over the national anthem at football games and turns it into a terrifying story about race hatred.
Okay, now this is Don Lemon to start.
If anyone actually believes this is about the flag, then you must believe Rosa Parks' protest was about a bus.
So Colin Kaepernick, who is mixed race, is Rosa Parks.
Think about that.
When he says he was really telling the owners, like the owners or the plantation owners and the guys playing the league, you know, they're on the plantation, you can't say anything. And so the thing has really escalated.
It does sound a little bit.
So the slave owners are the owners of the NFL, and the slaves are the players. I don't think slaves made $5,000 or $5 million a year annually on average.
Obviously, you can come at me on Twitter about this. Like he's saying, control your dog. Control your dog to the owners.
Okay. Chris Cuomo now is saying control your dog because he used the word son of a bitch. So now he's not only saying that the players' mothers are bitches, he's also saying control your dog with imagery that he's trying to paint of 1968 when white police officers sicked German shepherds on black people. That's what this is about.
Now he says they're fearful of the players. So he is setting up the ugliest kind of tension that you can. And I know when you say control your dog, it's got a lot of racial overtones to it.
So he didn't say control your dog.
What is this situation? Yeah. I don't know how you can look at it and not see how it's racial.
I don't know how you can look at it and say it's racial.
Dogs? Who said anything about dogs? Nobody did, but it doesn't matter. The image is horrifying, and that's the point. You can't turn away from that. Now, do you hate and fear your neighbor a little more by the end of that segment? Of course you do. Imagine millions of people watching that kind of thing all day long.
Yeah. And it is manifesting itself all over the place. Texas brought us together. The hurricane and Florida brought us together. And now we've got this. I played this yesterday. I want you to hear it again. This is Craig Hodges used to play professional basketball, talking about Donald Trump, equating racism to saying that athletes, regardless of color, should stand during the national anthem.
Where we are right now, it's beyond us getting justice in America. It's absolutely time for the Congressional Black Caucus to call for a human rights violation.
This is a caucus of people who are black that don't allow any other race in their caucus.
That have occurred past and previously. You know, and I think right now, it's a civil rights issue within the context of what President Trump said the other night. And as far as hampering athletes to be able to employ or get employment or gain employment. And, you know, when I think about his whole thing.
Oh, now this is where it gets really good.
Is when was America, make America great again. Now we see that 1817 is more likely when he's thinking about America being great, as opposed to us kneeling on behalf of righteousness and justice. He wants us to be kneeling in the cotton fields again, but.
Irresponsible. Childish and irresponsible. And dangerous. And dangerous. April Ryan is a journalist. She was in the Daily Presser in the White House, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and she had a rather contentious exchange. Here's the first part of that.
So the NFL players, what we're hearing, it's not about not having pride. They're saying they're patriots, they love this country, but they're challenging the system, and they're looking at history like the challenge of the system when it came to women's rights issues as well as civil rights. What does the president say when you look at history?
So Colin Kaepernick kneeling and starting this is equated to women's rights suffrage
and see how people love this country but wanted to challenge the system to make it better.
What's wrong with the system? It's not 1968. You know what the system to me is challenged? The inner city in this country, the murder rate, black on black violence, fatherless homes, abortion.
I think if we're going to look at history, we should look at the thousands of Americans who have given their life to protect that flag, to protect that anthem. We should be celebrating those people. I gave you a chance to answer. I'm going to finish your statement. We should be looking at every way we can to celebrate our country, bring it together, not looking at ways to divide it. The president is simply talking about what we're for, not about what we're against. And certainly this administration will always be for protection and celebration of the flag and the national anthem. And that's not going change.
And there was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong with it. Remember Whitney Houston when she did the national anthem? Tears in her eyes. Inspired all of us. It's a black woman. There was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong with tearing up as our national anthem played and being grateful for being here and being alive. There's nothing wrong with realizing that there are Americans who died valiantly overseas, away from their families, alone, looking up at the sky, knowing that they'd never see their families again, and your ass is sitting there. You're on your knee or you're on your ass. You're making millions of dollars a year. You have the chance to do that. These other people died young, violently, and far away. So you could sit your ass on that bench. Here's a little bit more between Huckabee Sanders, and April Ryan.
People are very divided on this issue. It is a racial issue for some people. And the question is, when the military...
Some people made it.
The military...
Some people made it a racial issue, and it's based on nothing.
Goes and fights for the freedoms of this nation. And the players are saying they are thankful for the military service to allow them to have the freedoms to do this. I mean, is there some kind of confusion here, or is it us versus them kind of scenario?
It certainly shouldn't be. As I've said several times before, this isn't an us versus them. This should be something that brings our country together. These are symbols of what our country stands for, and this should be the opposite of what that is. This should be a very unifying moment when the national anthem plays. All Americans should be proud to stand up, salute that flag, salute that anthem, and be part of that process.
Mm-hmm. And it should be, because there are a lot of black people, a lot of Hispanics, a lot of Indian descent, a lot of people who've died for this country because they believe in what it's all about. It's just an inappropriate way to protest. It's always been an inappropriate way to protest. There are other ways to protest. This one has been inappropriate. Burning the flag is inappropriate. Blaming the country for everything is inappropriate. Spike Lee has decided to, you know, not only have you heard Colin Kaepernick, who's biracial, with one white parent, spoiled, entitled kid, driven to soccer practice, probably in a nice car. He's been compared to Rosa Parks. His struggle has been compared to women's suffrage. And now Spike Lee compares him on CNN to Jackie Robinson.
Are there any teams where he could be the starting quarterback right now?
I think it's actually ESPN.
How many?
Yes. But that's not my point. My point is, if you could hire that person, and but at the same time you had that fear, that worry, you may lose a large amount of your clientele, your client
all right,
base.
I got an answer for you.
What?
Branch Rickey made the decision, we're going to hire Jackie Robinson. Nobody else wanted him. That was the decision. The Brooklyn.
Robinson's a Hall of Fame baseball player. What are you talking about? He was a Hall of Fame.
By the way, and Jackie Robinson suffered greatly to become the first black player on white teams. He suffered greatly. He slept in separate hotels from his fellow players. He was beaten. He was threatened. Colin Kaepernick, give me a break.
Before Branch Rickey hired him.
He was the first black person
in Major League Baseball.
No kidding. And by the way, you're dealing here. He was the first black player in Major League Baseball. Colin Kaepernick is part of the 70% of NFL players who are of African-American descent.
Yeah, I'm giving you an example of where somebody made the decision.
Okay, somebody made
the decision. No. Branch Rickey made the decision. Al Carmel says, I'm going to hire, no matter what Rimmel says, I'm hiring Jackie Robinson.
Okay, so
That was a business decision.
And guess what? They made lots of money from it. It was risky at first, but here's the thing. Where do we go from here?
Now, I don't think Jackie Robinson disrespected the flag and those who lost their lives for it. I could be wrong, but I don't think he did. This is apples and oranges. This is not about being the first player to a black player to be on a white league. What a terrible, terrible, terrible example. What an insult to Jackie Robinson. What an insult to all of the people who fought the civil rights struggle and experienced violence. It really is just sordid and grotesque. And very, very misguided. Sorry, it is. Here's another one. Representative Al Green, who is now calling for Donald Trump's impeachment because he called football players who kneel during the national anthem sons of bitches. And now they moved on to he's calling them dogs. Okay, he's calling them dogs. Every black person is a dog now, and this is reminiscent of the white police going after black activists with dogs. He's encouraging people not go to the White House. If you're a person of color, do not go to the White House. So, honestly, wow. He's encouraging black people to not go to the White House, the people's house. This is batshit crazy. This is batshit crazy, and it's dangerous. The NFL has begun to respond, and I mentioned that they moved from the sitting down their national anthem protest to standing during the protest, kneeling before. Several of the reasons, it's money. It's impacting attendance. It's got the fans really mad. Most of the fans, 58%, really mad about it. It's not only going to affect income, viewership, and attendance. What about those $500 million stadiums that the NFL has been getting from municipalities around the country? I've lived in many cities where they got their way, man. They got a taxpayer-funded stadium. You don't see other companies having you. You might get some infrastructure help, some tax breaks. They're not going to build the damn building if you own a manufacturing company. Minnesota got $500 million stadium going in up there. By the time they adjusted for inflation, by the time they pay it off in 30 years, it'll be $1.3 billion for that thing before they tear it down and build them another one. All told, federal taxpayers have helped underwrite some $30 billion in bonds to build or renovate stadiums spanning all sports since 2000. It's a hell of a lot of money, and it's all free. And it's paid for by you and me. And then we go inside and we have a $12 beer. Go in there and enjoy a $12 beer after you pay $45 for parking, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. $45 for parking. Go in and have a $12 beer and a $7 hot dog and some $8 nachos that are weak and they got fake cheese. There you go. Build me a new stadium now. Build me a new stadium so my $5 million a year slaves can kneel during the national anthem. Unbelievable. This is a story of, it's kind of laughable. There's a guy who owns a bar at Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri, Jason Burrell. He owns a bar called Snafu. Situation normal, all up, you know. And he decided to put two jerseys down as doormats so you could wipe your feet on. One of them, a Colin Kaepernick jersey, so it says Kaepernick. And then he made the unfortunate choice of the other player being Marshawn Lynch. So he laid the jerseys side by side and he taped them down and he went inside and didn't think twice about it until a guy named Taylor Sloan saw the jerseys that said Lynch Kaepernick together. Taylor Sloan said, "That's not the Missouri I know. It just kind of upset me really bad, put a bad taste in my mouth." This caused an exchange between he and the bar owner. Sloan wrote, "You are expressing hate, violence, and continuing American racism under the guise of patriotism." Bullcrap. See, that's what it is. They're making it into racism. Are you mad about this for racism because you hate black people kneeling? Come on, man. Burrell responded, "It's funny to me that someone would look that far deeply into it just to find a racist link," and that's what they're doing. Sloan said his online conversation with Burrell, he didn't think Burrell saw the problem with placing Lynch and Kaepernick back-to-back. He has taken them up and switched positions. So a dumb mistake. A dumb mistake. Diocese of Rockville Center warned their three high schools in Long Island students or fans kneeling during national anthem could face serious disciplinary action. This is a reminder that all student athletes and spectators are expected to stand during the playing of the national anthem at sporting events without any gestures of demonstration or protest. And they can do this because it's a private school. You do what they say or your ass is out of there. That's what it is. They can do the same thing to the NFL if they wanted to. Do the same thing. I think I'm done with this. Okay, I think I'm done with the... I'll mention one thing. I was reading an article, and I had mentioned that NFL players do not have the right to kneel during the national anthem. They have the ability to. Okay, they are employees of a private company. They can tell them whatever they want to do. There are a million ways that NFL players cannot express themselves, including big celebrations in the end zone, you know. There's no federal law against discrimination or retaliation for political activity at private companies. Paula Brandner, senior advisor at Workplace Fairness, said, "A lot of people think they have First Amendment rights, but those only apply to government employees." So there you go. I'm right. All right. Done with these stories. Done with them. Melania Trump. She's a beautiful woman. She's a smart woman. She speaks several languages. She's an impressive person. She's being slighted by the left. She's being picked apart by the left. There was the most beautiful people or best dressed people in America in Vogue last week left completely out of it. Michelle Obama was part of that list. It's political. She can't wear the right shoes when she goes to hurricane ravaged areas. She can't do anything right. And she sent some books to a school in Cambridge Elementary in Cambridge, Mass. Sent 10 Dr. Seuss books to honor National Read a Book Day. And the librarian, 23 years old, Liz Phillips Sorero, I guess, sent her an open letter, sent the books back. Said that her school was indeed a high-performing school, but it may but that it still struggles to close the achievement gap, retain teachers of color, and dismantle the systemic white supremacy in our institution. She said, why not go out of your way to gift books to underfunded and underprivileged communities that continue to be marginalized and maligned by policies put in place by Secretary of Education Betty DeVos? Which ones? Tell me which policy is it she's put in place. I'd love to hear that. Go right ahead. Yeah. She also criticized the book selections, which included The Cat in the Hat, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, The Foot Book, Green Eggs and Ham, and Oh, the Places You'll Go. She wrote, you may not be aware of this, talking down to the First Lady, but Dr. Seuss is a bit of a cliche, a tired and worn ambassador for children's literature. As First Lady of the United States, you have an incredible platform with world-class resources at your fingertips. Another fact that you may not know is that Dr. Seuss's illustrations are steeped in racist propaganda, caricatures, and harmful stereotypes. She concluded the letter by recommending to the First Lady some books that she should include. One of them is a 2015 children's book about gender identity called Red, a Crayon. And then also a story of immigration and separation about illegal immigration. Problem. Facebook post a little while back, she hosted a reading day in her library, dressed as Cat in the Hat, holding a copy of Cat in the Hat, holding a stuffed animal, Cat in the Hat. Purely political. 56% of voters think the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Isn't that nice to know? More than 50% of Americans believe that. Democrats the least optimistic because they lost the election, with roughly 70% said the world is in shambles compared to 42% of Republicans. World's always been in shambles. What the hell are you talking about? In comparison, about 48% of Dems felt things were going to hell when asked the question in 2004. 71% of Republicans said that in 2014. For both polls, Fox News literally asked voters if they thought things in the world were going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, by the way, in addition, over 80% of those surveyed believe the bonds that hold our nation together are weakening. That I agree with. Before I go any further, I want to mention my T-shirt and swag line. There it is right there. All right. TeePublic, Conservatees. A bunch of really, really, really killer designs, politically incorrect. I think we have 60 of them right now. Let me share a couple of them with you. Like this one, you can't coexist when some people want to kill you. You see that stupid bumper sticker on leftist cars all the time. Veganism is an eating disorder. It is. You can get it on T-shirts. You can put it on hats. My kid is not a snowflake. Russia, Russia, Russia. Proud climate change denier. Thank you, I am. Dude, make America grateful again. Calm down. Oops, sorry. Calm down. She lost. He won. Get over it. Suck it up, snowflake. Okay. I've got your safe space right here. You live in Kansas City. Kansas City. Or Kansas City. Sometimes war is the answer, kids. Sometimes war is the answer. It's just the way it is. And, of course, the Che Guevara rebuke. Murderous commie douchebag, not a hero. You can get put on anything you want. Just go to the site, tpublic.com/user/conservatees. Conservatees. Taco Bell is launching a clothing line. That's their next thing right now, by the way. And it's going to be featured at Forever 21. So they're going to promise hotter than Diablo sauce on T-shirts and whatnot. Line's coming out October the 11th. Includes a millennial pink pullover sweatshirt with the Live Moss logo embroidered on it. And a tank top inspired by fire sauce. I like their fire sauce. It's good. The Diablo is better, though. Have you had that? Diablo is, it's good. It's really good. I think we've got a few pieces of audio I'd like to hear for today, share with you today. I'm going to get to this woman, okay? I'm going to get this woman Edith Macias went after a guy with the Make America Great Again hat at California College, University of California, Riverside. We'll get to that in a second. Now let's get to it now, because I'm gonna do those pieces, and then I'm gonna wrap it up with something that I think is positive. Okay. So there's a meeting of student organizations at University of California, Riverside, and this one guy went in with a Make America Great Again hat. Edith Macias, who has been indoctrinated, and I bring up this indoctrination because when you hear the language that she's filled with, things like F your First Amendment, she's been whipped into a lather by all of the things that I've already played, all of the sound bites that I've already played from politicians who want to make everything about race. Do you want to say that Donald Trump is a Nazi or a white supremacist? This student who had the hat taken follows her into, I guess, the campus commons area. She was refusing to give up the hat. Now, there's a good deal of profanity in this, so I do apologize. But this is what we're dealing with.
Property, my Make America Great Again hat.
Look at the kind of shit he's wearing. Look it.
What, you're going to turn it into student life? What the hell is your problem?
Hey, y'all. So this guy thought it would be a good idea to go into a conference
with my freedom of speech.
Hat.
With my freedom of speech, she took my hat.
Wearing this hat.
This belongs to me. Give it back to me. Okay, it belongs to me. This belongs to me. I bought it, and she took it from me. It is mine.
Yeah. Really, look at the kind of shit he's wearing. You know what this represents? This represents genocide.
Okay. She thinks this represents genocide. She thinks that Donald Trump is Hitler because everybody's been saying he's Hitler. Everybody's been saying he's a Nazi. So this brainwashed little whatever believes it.
I understand.
Genocide of a bunch of people.
A bunch of which ones? I want to know, really.
And look at what he's wearing in front of a group of people.
Okay. This is mine. This is mine. You do not get to take other people's property that is legally theirs in this country.
Man, fuck your laws. All right?
Then get out.
Do you have any fucking conscience?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes. And I
really?
Do.
And that's why you go in there wearing this hat?
That's precisely why.
Because you have a conscience.
Yes. Is there something that we can help you with?
Look.
She stole my hat.
This guy
stole my hat.
Up there.
I was walking around.
No, let me tell you something.
I was walking around and she went and took the hat off of my head.
Most of the groups in this campus.
It does not matter.
Most of the groups
I have
this
a freedom of speech to wear this hat.
Your fucking freedom of speech is genocide, homeboy.
Your effing freedom of speech is genocide, homeboy. She's a genius. Here's a little more.
Mediate this and make it so like, oh, we're all okay here, freedom of speech, whatever. How about we actually think about what's going on in
the
this country?
The country that you apparently
actually,
love so much.
I really don't. I fucking hate this country.
That's why I say leave.
I hate it.
See, there you go. She hates the country because of all the injustice that goes on here. And even though she's going to this fancy school in California, she hates the country.
And I'm not
that's
leaving.
Why I say leave.
I'm staying here because there's shit that needs to be fixed here. So that's why I'm staying.
Okay. Then all you right? don't, but you don't fix it by
because
breaking the laws.
We need to get rid of all y'all.
But we don't fix
we
it.
We need to get rid of all y'all, which is you white people.
By breaking
all
the
right?
laws. And newsflash, I was born here too. I'm not leaving.
I don't give a fuck where you were born, boy. You got a shitload of privilege in you. And this shows by.
There you go. There's the white privilege.
You wearing this hat.
I don't care.
And it shows
I take the privilege
proud-
that I.
She got all the talking points down.
Where that I live in
when
this country. I have
people
freedoms that people
fought.
That people
she says millions of people are getting killed out there. Okay.
And die for. Freedoms that allow me to wear that hat. Freedoms that allow you to speak out against it.
Okay. Dangerous. Dangerous, misguided, and ignorant. Here's the last piece of audio from this because I can't stand to hear her voice anymore.
Because you're out there wearing hats like these mm-hmm. that promote laws and mm-hmm. legislations that literally...
And legislations. Yeah, she's a genius.
Kill and murder mm-hmm. in the masses.
Really?
People of color. Yeah, and fuck you for talking to me like
really?
That, boy. We're so lucky we're in a university.
Oh,
we are lucky.
Yeah. Here's the threat.
Yeah, we are.
We
because
are
if we were out of here...
Because if we're out of here, I swear to effing God is what she said. That was a physical threat. That was that she'd do something to him if they were not on the university campus. Love to see that. I would love to see that. Before I get to some positive sound here from Representative Steve Scalise, made it back to Congress yesterday. Inspirational stuff. I'll share that in a second. We'll talk to you about fountainoflifecairo.com. Pardon me. Fountainoflifecairo.com. This is a practice of Dr. Alex Nelson. It's in Kansas City where I live. If you live in Kansas City, I'd appreciate it if you'd get on his website. Fountainoflifecairo.com. You can call 816-741-4711. 816-741-4711. They're on Congress Avenue in Kansas City. And I've got, dude, right now, the vertebra in the center of my back is killing me, and I'm going to go get an adjustment. I can't wait. A lot of times, I sit here in front of this computer. The neck is here. The back is here. And it messes with it. He can do decompression for herniated low back discs, can work on your neck, headaches, asthma, shoulder pain, carpal tunnel, neuropathy, all of those things. I'm a big believer in chiropractic. Really, really big. FountainofLifeCairo.com. FountainofLifeCairo.com. All right. Representative Steve Scalise, he's been recovering for 3 months after being shot a couple times. And he made his return to Congress yesterday. And I thought it was pretty cool. Unfortunately, the unity that we saw in Congress yesterday won't last very long because we'll return to the same rhetoric, the divisive stuff, the picking cotton and slaves and all this crap. Here's a little bit of his return.
You have no idea how great this feels to be back here at work in the people's house. As you can imagine, these last 3.5 months have been pretty challenging times for me and my family. But if you look at the outpouring of love, of warmth, of prayer, my gosh, Jennifer and I have been overwhelmed with all of that outpouring. And it's given us the strength to get through all of this and to get to this point today. And it starts with God.
There you go. Starts with God. Do all of those congressmen feel that way? I doubt it. Here he is talking about prayer and how it helped him out.
When I was laying out on that ball field, the first thing I did once I was down and I couldn't move anymore is I just started to pray. And I will tell you, it gave me an unbelievable sense of calm, knowing that at that point it was in God's hands. But I prayed for very specific things. And I'll tell you, pretty much every one of those prayers was answered. And they were some pretty challenging prayers I was putting in
wow.
God's hands.
Can't even imagine.
But he really did deliver for me and my family. And it just gives you that renewed faith in understanding that the power of prayer is something that you just cannot underestimate.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a life-threatening situation like that? Years ago, when I was 31 years old, I had strep throat, and I got a 104-degree temperature, and I threw a blood clot, and I had a heart attack. And I remember laying down and starting to lose consciousness, and I prayed. And as I went out, I was suddenly yanked up by my wife. She had my arm. And I felt cold water to my extremities. That's what it felt like. I'm a believer in prayer, and I'm not meaning to proselytize here, but I am. I'm a believer. I am a believer. Finally, he thanks the police officers who saved his life. By the way, they're both people of color.
And even after being shot, both themselves continued to engage the shooter and ultimately got him down, which not only saved my life, but save the life of a lot of other people that are here in this chamber today. Crystal couldn't be with us today, but David Bailey is with us. David, you are my hero. You saved my life.
Huge.
Thank you so much.
Huge. Huge. After being shot, can you imagine tending to someone else? It's amazing. I wanted to wrap things up on that today because I know that, you know, there's a lot of heavy stuff in the world right now, and I just thought it would be cool to leave you with something maybe mildly inspirational, at least positive. We'll get through it. I don't think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't. I refuse to give up because I got kids. I'm not gonna let the handbasket fall or be lowered into hell. I want to thank all you listeners on LibertyOneTV.com. Also, if you get a chance to listen to the audio podcast, it's available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, YouTube, Player FM. Just look up Rob Carson Show. I'd greatly appreciate it. I'm also on Patreon, patreon.com. If you want to subscribe to my show, $1, $5, $10 a month. And don't forget to become a subscriber to this glorious video podcast with my brothers and sisters, LibertyOneTV.com, LibertyOneTV.com. And if you wouldn't mind sharing it on social media, that would be fantastic. If you wouldn't mind doing that, that would be great. So, pardon my appearance. Like I said, I got up early to do another radio show in Las Vegas this morning. Have a glorious rest of your day. If you are watching this as we go into the weekend on Friday the 29th of September, God bless you and have a great weekend. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.